Pastor Bill. It's certainly an honor to be with you and to see you physically. I have some instructions from the Lord, and I just want to obey him. Is this mic on by any chance? There we go. All right. If I don't get an echo, I think there's something wrong. It's an honor to be in the house with you. I consider you part of my family. And if you don't like that, that's just too bad. All right. Amen. First off, I'd like to just take a minute and thank the fathers in this house for being awesome dads and awesome fathers and granddads and, in some of our cases, great-granddads. And I just want to express that. We bless each and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. We're just so thankful to be men together in such a unique time. And this is a time to be the best dad you can possibly be. Be the best father that you possibly can be. And to understand that we have the most awesome Father, our Father God. Can you say amen? I want to read a couple scriptures to you. This has nothing to do with what the message is, but it has everything to do with honoring what God honors. And the Lord spoke to me yesterday. I was walking and praying and told me what to do. Well, what if they don't like it, Lord? Well, tough. All right. You could fire me, okay, but that's okay. I've been fired before. Glory to God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And then in our New Testament, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Thank God for that promise. Can you say amen? I remember when my dad passed on, I was in the prayer room at CWI in Titusville. The Lord told me I'd be leaving that area after my parents moved to heaven. And I was in there, and my wife and I and a friend of mine, a missionary friend that was living with us at that time, helped take care of him so he didn't have to go to a home. And my dad could have been a professional baseball player. And then at 21 years old, he ended up getting a rupture. And back in that day, that was a major issue. So it took him out of that. He was getting ready to play for a team out of New York City. He had already been recruited. And then that happened. It just turned his life upside down. And then as a kid, I remember him playing softball and, you know, doing those activities, and he was very good. There wasn't too many times when he would be up the bat that it wouldn't go over the fence. And he believe it or not, he was about 6'2". My mom, when she married him, thought he looked like John Wayne. So, okay, so that's, yeah, I got the small genes in that family, all right. my brother got the big ones, and so anyhow, I'm a version of my mom, evidently. But in the case of that, I remember going to him and saying, "Dad, are you ready to go home and to be with the Lord?" And he says, "No." He says, "I'm not done playing ball yet." End the story, all right? He was gruff, too, all right? It just was, all right? It was black, white, that's the way it was. I says, "Okay." So I just settled it, all right? And then, I don't know, about 3-4 months later, he looked at me and he says, "Son," he says, "I'm done playing ball." And that night, his brother came to be with him and he moved. He moved to heaven. And I'm telling you that because, you know, with long life, he'll satisfy us and show us his salvation. And the doctor said, well, he only had about 15% of his heart. But see, he had a big heart, and it kept him alive. It was just a, you know, he was just a walking miracle all the time. And I brag on that because I brag on Jesus, because I love my earthly father, but I'm so much more in love with my heavenly father, because he's perfect. Can you say amen? And the Lord told me, he says, to honor the fathers today, you know, it is Father's Day, and I just want to honor you. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, it says, wherefore the Lord thy God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. And now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. If you're familiar with the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, I'm certain. And one way we honor God is by giving. You know that. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 7 through 12, it says, be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. And in verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And then again in Proverbs 14:31, we understand that one of the ways we honor the Lord is by giving to the poor or blessing the poor. I've certainly had a heart for the poor ever since I was in ministry. Some of my first mission trips were in the dumps of Tijuana, Baja, California, Mexico, and rocked my world. I don't want to say wealth, but I came from a middle-class family that really never had any need. We had a grocery store, so we never starved, all right? So, you know, I didn't know what need was. I really didn't. You know, I'm just very thankful for that upbringing. But on the other side, when I went in the dumps and we started ministering to people that were salvaging for food, and I seen great revival in that area at that time. That was my first introduction to missions. Changed my life. When I come back to the church, and nothing against America, but when I came back to the church, I was a youth pastor. I had just resigned because I knew that wasn't my lane, and I was just filling a need until somebody that actually was called to that ministry was there. And when I come back, the church was in a building program, and they were fussing about the color of the paint and the carpet. And I just come out of revival 7 days a week. There was many churches. We'd visit at least three churches a day. And we were taking food and clothing in and beans and rice. And my spiritual mom said, just remember, son, everything always goes better with Jesus. And she was called at 4 years old to minister to the poor. And then she infected me with a heart for the poor and for missions and taught me faith like I'd never been taught before. But it wasn't because she was an eloquent teacher, preacher. She was good. Don't misunderstand me. But she lived it, and she lived it before me, and I just seen the power and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ operate in that ministry. So we would take and minister to the poor, and I remember going one of my first trips in as we ministered at one of the churches, and then there was a family that said, after church, we want to feed you. And you know, there's dirt floors, there's dogs, there's chickens, and, you know, a lot of the people didn't have adequate clothing. You could see that. It was very, very, very devastatingly poor. And I remember walking into that little shanty, and they had a refrigerator, and there was a table, and then there was a curtain, and behind that curtain, there was these little faces popping out. and they were looking at us, and I sat down, and I'm sitting beside the ministry leader who was there, and there was others. There was our interpreter and another team, and I had ministered that day, and we had a wonderful service, and God moved mightily. There was people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and healed, and glory to God, just what Jesus does. And there was such hunger, and it just impressed me. And then I was a businessman before I got saved and went into ministry, and I know none of you ever thought this, but I always thought money would just answer everything. And so I told my spiritual mom, I said, when I come, I says, I suppose their greatest need is money. And I'm on the telephone before I met her, and she said to me, "Sonny!" And I got put down real quick on that phone, all right? And I mean, I was humbled because the anointing of God went through that telephone. She lived in San Diego, California. Her ministry was in Mexico. And I was up in, you know, Yankeeville, northwestern Pennsylvania. And I remember her just saying, "Sonny," she didn't know me yet. She said, "I want you to know that our greatest need is prayer and your obedience to what God tells you to do." It totally wrecked me. So I'm being, God's working on me because I had to lose part of my business mindset to enter into ministry, and that was part of it. And when I sat at that table and they pulled this food out, and I'm looking around and thinking, I don't see enough for the people behind that curtain. And my spiritual mom looks over at me, and she says, "Eat what is put before you." Oh. So I'm learning missions, all right? I didn't read all the books, okay? I wasn't there yet. I was thrown into ministry before I was ready, okay? I had to learn as I went. And in the process of that, what happened was I'm sitting there eating, and she said, "God will bless them because they're giving, and this is sacrificial." Well, as years went by, that particular family, I watched their house enlarge. I watched all their children be able to go to school, get educated. Eventually, cars started showing up around the house, and everything changed. And because why? You know, I believe in seed time and harvest. I believe in sowing and reaping. I believe in the prosperity message, whether anybody else wants to or not. I believe that it is the will of God that we prosper, we walk in health, as our souls are prospering. But I also believe that there's a time when we pray, we hear God, and we obey. And in that case, she was training me to see things go better with Jesus. They were giving out of their need, and God prospered that family because they tapped into the truths of the gospel, just like you and I have. Can you say amen? So I've seen, and I watched my mother-in-law raised up from a deathbed with a situation. We were at that time, we'd left Lancaster, PA, and I moved into South Carolina, and we were traveling from there at that time, and it seemed like I kept coming back to Pennsylvania. I don't know, something about Pennsylvania. But anyhow, one of the trips, we got a call and said, Sharon, it's my wife Sharon, we'll be married 50 years August 4th. Yeah, amen. And she survived me, glory to God. Yep, still going strong, and she gives you her love. And anyhow, get this phone call, says, "You need to rush home." Joanne, that was my mother-in-law, she says, she's getting ready to move on, and she needs her pastor. I was basically her pastor. And we get there. The Lord tells me, he says, serve her communion, minister to her, and ask her if she's done yet. Okay. So we did that, and I said, "Joanne, do you feel like you're done yet? Are you ready to go home?" And, "No, I'm not done." I said, "Okay." I mean, she has tubes on both sides going into both arms. This wasn't on one side, it's on both sides. And I mean, the whole family, Sharon has a big family, it's just doom and gloom. You just feel the spirit of death. You understand me? Thank God for the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So in that process, I'm ministering to her, and the Lord speaks to me. I believe it's Psalm 41. If I'm wrong, forgive me. But it talks about God will raise you up on your deathbed when you give to the poor. I said to her, she raised multiple foster kids. The sad part of it is most of them, or not most of them, a lot of them robbed her, all right? There wasn't a whole lot of valuables left in her house for the time that she was done doing that. But she just had a heart to raise up. And she took the worst of the worst before they went into the reform schools, okay? That's who she was. She was tough. But anyhow, she had a heart for these kids, and she just poured out her life to them throughout our earlier life. And I watched her give to the poor time and time again. She's one of the ones when my first mission trip, or not my first one, is when I moved to Mexico, or moved into Southern California to go into Mexico in full-time missions, that I had planted a church, and I felt like that church will probably be the one that will be supporting me. There wasn't nothing signed, and I'm not speaking negative about the church. I just assumed. You don't assume, okay? You don't assume. That's not wise. Well, I was not wise at that time, and I assumed, well, my support will come from there. And the Lord spoke to me the last service before I installed the pastor and the leaders. And he said to me, he said, son, they won't know you when you come back. Well, my vision, I was, 35, 36 at that time. That's a long time ago. My vision was, I'm coming back gray-haired. My hair wasn't gray then, all right? I know it is now, but at that time it wasn't. And I'm thinking, your mind goes off and think, well, I'm going to be an old man when I come back, you know? Well, I got there, and I no sooner got there, and I figured it out that they already didn't know me. And God bless them. I mean, we're good. Don't misunderstand me. But I had my eyes on the natural instead of the supernatural, instead of on my Father, who is my full supply. Do you understand me? I know none of you have done these things, but this message is probably for another church, but I'm going to give it to you anyhow, okay? So in doing that, I'm crying out to God. We have two children. We have a basset hound that ended up in jail in San Diego, because he ran away and he got captured, all right? And my kids are little, and my wife wasn't always in total agreement with me going, all right? They knew that I was supposed to go, but I was zealous, and I hate to tell any of you this, but I missed God on that particular trip because I made it happen before it should have happened. The zeal of God consumes me. And sometimes we can force things to happen, and because God's ways are his thoughts are above our thoughts, but his ways, if we don't tap into his ways, sometimes we try to carry out his thoughts our way. Now, I know none of you have ever done that, but I was guilty at that time, and my wife knew it, but thank God she's very submissive, and I watched God take care of her, and I was the most miserable. Now, none of you have ever done that because you're Christians, all right? But what I'm saying is I missed it. Well, in repentance, I repented. I got right. And the less when the Lord, if it'd just be like one of you talking to me, and he says, son, he says, don't you think it's time you start working with me instead of for me? And I break down. I'm praying on the streets of San Diego or in that area, Imperial Beach at that time. And I'm crying on the streets all by myself and, feeling sorry for my stupid self. And so I repent. I watch a paraplegic who I administered to who was in an accident with a tree. He was a lumberman. A tree had fallen on him. I watched a backslidden pastor who wasn't walking with the Lord. I have a brother who testified and witnessed to me, but at the time that this happened, he was backslidden. And my mother-in-law, who was a widow, who didn't, you know, she was raising foster kids who didn't have much, to be truthful with you. I watched God use those four people to supply from heaven to my family. And you talk about humbling yourself. You understand me? It was very humbling for me to see how God used that, because ultimately my resource was coming from the Father, because God was using the foolish things of this world to confound me who thought I was wise. It helped me to learn some lessons in ministry, never to look at the practical or the natural, but always to look at the heart of the Father, because the Word of God will not return void. It'll always accomplish that what He pleases, and it'll prosper whereunto He sends it. Well, God is the God of the more than enough. He's the God of the full supply. He's still the El Shaddai. You understand that. But He's also the God that I continually know that when I invest in what He honors and I honor what He honors, I know that honor comes back to me, or that blessing comes back to me, the same time as seed time, harvest. I'm telling you all this, and this has nothing to do with my message, and I know I'll probably run out of time, but I'm going to share it anyhow. I want to read this one more time to you. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and them that despise me will be lightly esteemed. And I told you, I said one way we honor God is by our giving into the ministry. And then another one is by helping the poor, ministering to the poor. By the way, I watched God raise up my mother-in-law. She lived for another couple years, went into rehab, was ministering to all the nurses and all the, I mean, I go into the room to visit her after that, and she'd have, I mean, she had church. Her ministry wasn't done, all right? I encouraged her. I says, listen, I says, if all you can do is minister and pray for these people, I says, you got a ministry. And she did. So I watched God raise her up on her deathbed, because that wasn't the report of the hospitals. That was the report of the Lord, was she's going to live and not die and declare the works of God. And in keeping the Sabbath, you can read that in Isaiah 58, verses 13 through and 14. If we keep the Sabbath, there's honor that will come to us. And then also, when we honor Jesus, the Father will honor us. That's in John's Gospel, chapter 5. And just for the sake of time, in verse 23 it says, and all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which he has sent him. In other words, when we honor Jesus Christ, do you know in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God? You all know that, I'm certain. And because we know that, I identify with Jesus Christ speaking to me through His Word. So when I get a hold of that Word, if by meditation and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring it and invest it into me, not a natural mindset, but actually a heart of revelation, because the Spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him wants to expand us as men and women of God in this day and this hour. You know that as well as I do. So as we yield to the Holy Spirit, who is the great teacher, who teaches us and brings truths to us, and Jesus made a statement like this, it's kind of crazy. He says, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to do what to you? Set you free. So I don't know about you, I've been set free in a lot of areas over the years, amen. I know I haven't arrived totally, but I'm on my way, all right? I'm on the right pathway. I believe you are too, or you wouldn't be here this morning. So I see that praise and worship, and we could go on with many scriptures, that honors God. Yeah, amen. We honored the Lord this morning. Can you say amen? He's honored by your worship, and especially when your hearts are engaged, not just lip service. That's not totally what honors Him. It's the heart engaged with the sound that is coming out of your heart through your mouth. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, but it also praises. It also worships. It also adores. It also loves on God. So as we have honored him this morning together as family, and as we've honored him for the miracle that is taking place in my friend's life, as we worship him and thank him for all that he's doing, all that he's going to do, but he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the God that is the healer of mankind. He's still the restorer of the pathway. He's still the one that opens doors that no man can close. And by the way, Anthony, I need to speak to you. I'll just time out. I've seen that God has opened doors for you, young man. He's opened doors for you that have brought great favor. He's given you some divine connections that are very, very critical for the seasons that lie ahead. He's placed on you favor. He's opened doors of great influence. I don't know anything about that, but I'm telling you by the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, don't take those for granted. God wants you to use his wisdom, to yield to the Holy Spirit. He's going to take you through that so that you can use those connections that he's given you, but there's more to come. There's more connections he's going to connect you to for the benefits of the kingdom and for the process of what needs to take place in the kingdom of God in the region in which he's sealed you in. He's given you the anointing. He's given you all the gifts that you need. In other words, he's prepared you for such a time as this. And as the doors open up even wider, the Spirit of wisdom and counsel is going to rest upon you so that you can deal wisely with the affairs that need to take place in that region. Great favors come in your way. Great connections come in your way. You're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Even through all the devastation you've seen, what you've experienced, the hurts, the pains, the tears, and all the things that you carry. I know you do, but I'm telling you, God's going to raise up a generation through your ministry that is going to usher in a presence in the glory of God like that nation has never seen. You're going to see revival in the days ahead. You're going to see an awakening in the days ahead. You're going to see people coming from the north, south, east, and west. They'll be set on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit. So, son, God bless you. To whom much is given, much will be required. So, hallelujah. Well, back to what I was sharing with you. Your service in the Lord honors the Lord. And you know that in John chapter 12, verse 26, it says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, one way we honor the Father, and I know you know this because you're in a great teaching church, a great underneath some of the best, most anointed man that I've ever walked beside. And it just I brag about him often. I says, all you have to do is push the button. It could be about making a peanut butter sandwich, or maybe I should say it should be making what's the soup with beets, borscht. So I say, Bill, what do you think about borscht? The next thing I know, I have a recipe, all right? Line upon line, precept upon precept. I know how much to boil it. I know what to do with it. You understand? Because why? You pop the button, and the teaching gift explodes, all right? Well, it's even more severe when it comes to spiritual matters, all right? But I love it because why? You can't separate the gift from the man. Can you say amen? Well, one thing I've seen and I've experienced about this couple, and I'm here to honor them. If you wonder what I'm doing, you're thinking, well, he should have preached. Well, I don't know. Maybe I should have. I'm here to say, God spoke to me. And he says, son, he says, I want R.L. Hawk Ministries to sow a seed into this man and this woman. I have no clue what they need it for. Maybe they don't need it. Maybe it's just to go have a good time. Amen. Just go blow it, all right? That has nothing to do with anything. But I thought, Lord, I want to honor what you honor. And God has honored you. And I honor you, Pastor. We honor you. Well, why do you do that? I'm glad you asked me. Be not wise in your own eyes, Bob. Fear the Lord, depart from evil, Bob. It'll be health to you throughout your whole navel. Amen. Your whole being, your entire self, and marrow to your bones. In other words, I don't. The older I get, the more I know that I need some grease in them their joints. All right. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Well, that's just what took place. As I honored the Lord with our substance at R.L. Hawk Ministries, into what the man of God who represents the Lord in this house, but he also represents the Lord everywhere he goes. And the Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. The hand meaning the power of God. But also, if you understand that there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, which makes up a hand, all right, that you humble yourself underneath the gifts of God. Why? Because those gifts were given to you and me, all right, to perfect you and me, to complete you and me, to help us become all that we can be in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? That's why we need the body of Christ. That's why we need the fivefold ministry in operation. That's why we need to be partakers of the grace in which each other carry. Because why? There's a work to be done, because the Bible wants us to understand that the work of the ministry is up to the saints, okay? It's up to all of us, but we've got to say, all right, what's my lane? Where do I fit? So in other words, I take a hold of what God has for me. I receive from the grace, which I have time and time and time and time and more time ahead. Receive from the grace in which he carries, the gift in which he carries, because why? It's imparted into me so that I could do more than what I could of before when I didn't have him in my life. Does that make sense to you? That's why we want to celebrate and rejoice in what God brings to us. Are you with me? I don't take our relationship lightly. I take it as, no, it's a gift from God to me. And today, being Father's Day, and him being the father of this ministry, I'm sharing with you, I trust the Holy Spirit moves on this congregation to honor the gift. Because why? There's so much more laid up in store to be poured out through this gift into this body. The best days are lying ahead. I want to encourage you in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a shift, there's a change, there's a revelation that is going to come from heaven that is going to shift some things and be, what I see is great delegation, but I see great increase. And in the increase of what God wants to do in this house, in your lives, in this region, I guarantee you it's going to be more and more. But the problem will come because why? What do we do with what he's placed upon us? In other words, when something is given to us, then I have to take step up and I've got to take responsibility to deal wisely with what he's given me. And that's where I want to encourage you as the body here at this great church, and maybe you're a guest here. I want to encourage you as a member of the body of Christ that God is going to pour things within you by the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. The things that you think you used to know are going to be expounded on by the word of the Lord, and it's going to explode in the hearts of mankind in the days that lie ahead, because assignments are going to become clear. Steps have already been ordered, and God is lining up his people in what I believe is divine order in this day and this hour. In other words, the Spirit of God is moving on the earth, because why? The days are short. You know that. In other words, there's more happening in less time than any generation has probably ever seen. In other words, the clock is ticking. When is that eastern sky going to crack? When is the Son of God going to appear? When are the dead in Christ going to arise? And when are we that are alive and remain on the earth going to be caught up together with him? I don't know about you, but I believe it's not as far ahead as you some people might think. But are we going to be partakers of the grace that God has placed in our life so that we can do more with the time that he's given us in the days that lie ahead? Because there's a harvest at stake. There's nations that need to be ministered to. There's an evangelistical spirit that is going to sweep into the church. And when I talk about the church, I talk about the ecclesia. I talk about you. You are the body of Christ. It's not this building. Thank God for this building. We're comfortable in here. Can you say amen? But what I'm saying, you're the church in motion. And everywhere you go, you can show the expression of Jesus Christ because you're the ambassadors of this day and this hour. In other words, there's no good thing that he's going to hold back from us if we'll get our hearts in alignment with him and we'll expect by faith, because faith is what pleases God. And if we want to honor God in the days that lie ahead, we've got to tap into our faith and expect more, expect more, expect more. Expect to see the manifestations of the goodness of God in the land of the living. Expect to see the harvest of this day and this hour. Expect to see that third great awakening which many have been praying for. It's now. Do you understand me? If nobody else is awake, I'm awake. My eyes have been opened up. My ears have been opened up. My heart's been enlarged. Because why? I see the potential in each and every one of you. And I believe God wants to express and expand your borders so that you can accomplish more in less time than you ever thought you could. Because you are the anointed of this day and this hour. How Christ anointed the body of Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power so that they could go out and do good and heal all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? He is the Christ. He is the King of the church. He is the Lord of lords. He is the head of the church. But you and I are the body of Christ. And as the head is, so is the feet. Can you say amen? As the head is, so are the arms. So is the mouthpiece. So in other words, understand, when you look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith, you can endure and you can go through no matter what it is the devil has set up for you. I guarantee you, you got a breakthrough anointing on your life. You got a spirit, what I call, of endurance that rests upon you. Because why? You're with a man that is enduring, and he's going through because he knows what Jesus Christ went through, and he knows his assignment, and the call of God is not done on his life. So there's a day and an hour that you're going to sit there and say, wow, what a miracle do we see? Well, I want you to know you're in the midst of that miracle right now, because he's a good, good daddy. Can you say amen? That wasn't at all what I wanted to preach to you. But what I had was really good. Maybe another time.